I think this has been the 28th constructive dialogue that we've had with different atmospheres and climates. So I'm delighted, along with Mr. Ravena, that has been such an excellent atmosphere. First of all, because Portugal is deeply committed to human rights. I know they're very committed. They've ratified all the UN treaties in the area of human rights, or I should say virtually all, along with most European states. You haven't ratified the Convention on Migrant Workers and Their Rights, if I may say that, but OPCAT you've ratified, which of course is nicely complementary to what we do. Also, you've accepted Article 31 and 32 of the Convention, which is a very useful thing and an excellent example. And then we've had this excellent sequence of constructive dialogues with timely submission of reports, very specific answers to the list of questions, and now orally a very fruitful dialogue, which has been complemented and completed with documents that have been provided to the rapporteurs. So I hope that the follow-up will be just as successful as the exercise itself. We've had an extremely competent delegation, very pleasant delegation, but also very rigorous and stringent, answering exhaustively our questions. And you've done it clearly, but also frankly. That is something which is a very useful exercise. We've also listened closely. I mean, if I were to summarize my feeling on the substance, I think the general framework, Portuguese law is, broadly speaking, excellent when it comes to protecting human rights. And indeed, the discussions we've had on protecting victims this morning are more than satisfactory. The second issue is quite apart from the domestic legal situation. You have all the issues pertaining to legal cooperation internationally, judicial cooperation. And you yourself, as a judge, you've given us more topical examples, and you've given us many examples indeed. Interpol is terribly sensitive when it comes to enforced disappearances. The phenomenon of enforced disappearance might immediately affect a state, and of course there are all these cross-border implications. It means that you need an enhanced national legal framework which is ready to tackle all these, which leads me on to the final point. The real added value of our convention is its first article, para 1. It's a very brief paragraph. No one shall be submitted to enforced disappearance. Of course, we need to know what enforced disappearance is, and it seems that the three components, essential elements here, on the first point, Article 5, as a crime against humanity, with the ratification of the Rome Statute of the 2004 law. By doing that, Portugal has done all it has needed to do. On Article 3, we haven't spoken too much about Article 3, which is attributable to private actors, for instance, human trafficking and enforced disappearance through that, abduction, kidnapping. You have a substantial legal protective framework there. But for Article 4, when the disappearance is a crime of state, if you say it is an aggravating circumstance attached to or aggravating ordinary offences, it doesn't really tie in with the real leitmotif of the convention. And this whole issue of how you could recategorize, I mean, if you're not careful, this is something which waters down the substance of what is a complex crime. So perhaps you need to take your thinking further so that you do come to a logical conclusion to your existing rationale on this. But thanks to what you've said, you've clarified us so we can move on with our recommendations, and you've clarified our dialogue. And I'd like to end by thanking you, and I'd like to also wish you a very safe journey back to Lisbon for the delegation, and thanks to you all.
Thank you, Mr. Deco. I now have the pleasure to give the floor to the head of delegation for his final remarks. Your Excellency, the floor is yours.
Muito obrigado, senhora.
Thank you, Madam Chair.